This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Donald Trump has called for the shutdown of the Clinton Foundation, calling it the most corrupt enterprise in political history. Well, Trump's own financial dealings undermine his questioning of the foundation. Still, even those who don't identify as conservative have called into serious question the organization's culpability in international affairs. Among them is my guest, Ken Silverstein, who has written a new article in Harper's, where he writes, quote, "The Clintons have used their foundation for crass profiteering and influence peddling." Silverstein wants the Justice Department to indict Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton, quote, "because their so-called charitable enterprise has served as a vehicle to launder money and to enrich Clinton family and friends." Ken Silverstein is a Washington, D.C.-based investigative reporter, a columnist for the New York Observer, and a contributing editor to Vice. And he wrote the piece, "Shaky Foundations, the Clinton so-called charitable enterprise has served as a vehicle to launder money and to enrich family, friends." It's in Harper's Magazine. Welcome to the program, Ken.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on. I do want to just mention, I just started a new website called WashingtonBabylon.com, where I'm going to be doing investigative reporting, but also a lot of gossip and having some fun, hopefully. It's really basically a DC political tabloid.
Okay, WashingtonBabylon.com. We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Let's start talking about the origins of the Clinton Foundation. Bill Clinton founded this organization. It's supposed to be a nonprofit entity. This happened in 2001. Basically, after his political career has waned from being president, this became the new arm through which he has worked. And as you point out in your article, the Clintons have become spectacularly wealthy after his two terms as president. What is this foundation meant to achieve? And in sort of, you know, in general terms, what is its mission supposed to be?
Well, its mission is supposed to be that it's a charitable enterprise. It's a foundation. It does good work, if you, in theory. If you go to its webpage, if you look at its reports, there are always these pictures of the Clintons around the world with poor children, and talks about, you know, their work with healthcare and environmental issues. And, you know, it just, it couldn't be more beautiful. You would think that this was one of the greatest charitable enterprises of all time. And I do want to say quickly that, you know, people need to really put aside Donald Trump and in evaluating the Clinton Foundation, and to look at it not on the basis of what Trump has to say about it or what anybody has to say about it for political purposes. I mean, I'm not a fan of Trump or Hillary Clinton's. I have no intention of voting, period, this year, because I think it's a degrading process. However, you know, the Clintons are always diverting attacks on them, their political attackers. Say, you know, it's a right-wing media machine, or, you know, now when Trump says it, people are going to say, oh, what do you expect Donald Trump is going to say? Hillary Clinton supporters need to honestly look at her political career and this foundation without blinders. You know, Trump has plenty of issues. I'd love to be on another day to discuss those. But in any case, I just want to state that, because people just get all mixed up and don't want to hear criticism of Hillary Clinton.
Right, because Clinton is facing a rival like Trump, we seem to be at a place where any criticism of her or her dealings are apparently playing into Trump's hands. So you're right, let's put aside Trump, let's not talk about him this conversation. Let's talk about what exactly are the troubling aspects, and there are many. First of all, who are the Clinton Foundation donors? Obviously, a foundation collects money from various donors and then funnels it into curated projects that it deems worthy of funding. So who has the Clinton Foundation gotten money from, and has it even been transparent over the years about who funds it?
Well, it's received, I don't even know what the latest count is, but it is an enormous foundation. It's collected hundreds of millions of dollars. If I could be underestimating, I mean, what it's received. It has a website where it pretends to be terribly transparent. And, you know, it will, they didn't list their donors at all for a while. And then under pressure, they started releasing their donors. So you can go to their website, but what's confusing about it is, first off, what they don't say is they'll give, donors by categories. So like if you're a million and up, they'll list you there. If you're half a million to a million, they'll list you there. They don't give dates of donations though, which you would think that, you know, that's just a simple, it's not complicated to do that. And they don't say, you know, did somebody give $1 million in one single contribution, or was it, you know, five different contributions, and when were these contributions made? I mean, this is, you know, politicians have to report where they get their money from and the date that it was given. And it does help reporters and the public sort of say, is there a quid pro quo going on here if you know when
right.
money is given?
That is the main aspect here. So among the donors are the government of Saudi Arabia, and you point out a Ukrainian oligarch accused of bribery and corruption named Viktor Pinchuk, and his foundation gave the Clinton Foundation money. So there are some dubious figures that have given money to the Clinton Foundation. So the question then comes about, what has the Clinton Foundation done with that money? Haiti is one place where it has poured a lot of money into. Even President Obama donated some of the money that he got from his Nobel Prize to the Clinton Foundation Haiti initiative. How can we look at what the Clinton Foundation did in Haiti and judge it by that particular effort?
Well, I have to defer in a little bit here. I'm going to ask people to look at a Rolling Stone piece that goes back some years. That was an excellent article that really looked at the Clinton Foundation's pathetic efforts in Haiti. I have to tell you, I'm not an expert on Haiti. I know that I've heard a lot of criticism, and I know it has very little to show for its work in Haiti. But I do know more, for example, about Kazakhstan, just to cite one example. And I have a piece on the Clinton Foundation and its pathetic efforts in Colombia that will be coming up soon. In Kazakhstan, though, it's a typical situation with the Clinton Foundation. Bill Clinton gets on the private jet of a Canadian guy, and let's talk a little bit more about him because he's one of the big, big donors to the foundation, Frank Giustra. He's typically described in the media as a mining magnate. This guy is not a mining magnate. He was basically a penny stock promoter in Canada. He has a very, very shady past. And he and Bill Clinton became great friends. So Bill gets on a plane with Giustra and flies off to Kazakhstan. And, you know, they claim that Bill claims he was going over there and that the foundation was doing all this great work to combat AIDS in Kazakhstan. Now, it's interesting because Kazakhstan, it's an oil-rich dictatorship, lots of problems there. But at the time, its problem with AIDS was not one of the big dramatic issues that the country was facing. I mean, there was an AIDS problem there, but it was relatively small. It was not a vital need. And it's not really clear what the Clinton Foundation has done to combat AIDS in Kazakhstan either. But in any case, that was the alibi. But what happened, and this has happened a number of times with Frank Giustra. Frank Giustra goes on a plane with Bill Clinton to Kazakhstan, and right afterwards, Frank Giustra gets mining concessions. And he, in Kazakhstan, he got an enormous concession. He put it into a shell company and he flipped it and made a lot of money. And he gave, or he claims to have given, about $100 million to the Clinton Foundation. Now, that's a big problem, obviously. And that gets to your question earlier about what is the Clinton Foundation. It claims to be a charity, but to me, what it appears to be is a vehicle to promote the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton family, its political aspirations, to reward its cronies, and to reward donors. A lot of donors to the Clinton Foundation have got big favors from Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State.
Now, right. This is a very important point, that while Clinton was Obama's Secretary of State, the Clinton Foundation was very active. And as you point out in your article, Bill Clinton would go give a speech somewhere, get paid for it. And very soon after, you know, there seems to be some correlation. Apparently, Hillary Clinton would go visit that same place and kind of, you know, do favors or just even a diplomatic visit, which would increase the prestige, I suppose, of the person who paid her husband. I mean, do we see a strong correlation there?
look, we have seen definite correlations there. There's another example in Colombia, which has been reported on, that what I'm about to share. I don't want to share what I'm going to be reporting. But Giustra and Clinton fly off to Colombia in 2010. Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State. They go down there allegedly on Clinton Foundation business. You know, and they went a few times, actually. In 2012, Giustra and Bill go down there and they go golfing. It's not really clear what the Clinton Foundation is doing in Colombia. They don't have a lot to show for their efforts. But once again, Frank Giustra got concessions, important concessions in Colombia, natural resource concessions, right after this visit. Now, meanwhile, at the exact same time, Hillary Clinton is down in Colombia on the same day. And she, in her memoir, she claims it was just a coincidence. But she's down there meeting with former President Uribe, who I think is arguably the worst president in modern Latin American history. There could be some debate on that, but he's certainly one of the worst. Terrible corruption, ties to death squads. Hillary Clinton goes down there, and she holds a press conference in the afternoon, and on the same day, her husband meets with Uribe in the morning. Now, as I said, you know, they're down there, they're both down there at the same time that Frank Giustra is down there. Bill and Frank are together. Frank Giustra gets important mining concessions right after this visit. It looks really bad, to state it mildly. And I think it's worth noting here, too, that it's not just Donald Trump who's criticizing the Clinton Foundation. Lots of people are. But just last week, the Clinton campaign said they were going to stop taking money from foreign donors if she becomes president, which to me is an admission that they shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. They got away with it. They raised a pile of money when she was Secretary of State. And now they're saying, oh, by the way, we'll stop doing that. Well, you know, as Secretary of State, a pile of money came in from some very shady donors. And Hillary Clinton definitely took decisions. I can't say that, you know, the donate, because I don't know when the money came in. And a lot of the donations, you still can't figure out where they came from.
And this goes back to your assertion earlier that on their website, they just simply list amounts, aggregate amounts possibly, but not actually when the money came in or in what amounts they came in. Now, the Clinton Foundation is a giant foundation as foundations go. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, possibly more. But what, tell us about the accounting firm that was doing its accounts. You would imagine that the Clinton Foundation, such a large foundation, would employ a well-known accounting firm, one with a lot of experience and background, to make sure that its finances were on the up and up. So who did they employ?
Well, that is a very interesting question. Yeah, you would have thought that they would have had one of the, you know, AAA rated firms, and sometimes those AAA rated firms have their own problems, but a name brand firm when you're dealing with a foundation of this size. But instead, they had this little firm, and I hope I'm getting this right. I think it was called BKD, and it was based in, of all places, Little Rock. I mean, how did they get a regional accounting firm to monitor their accounts? I mean, it's, as I note in the article at Harper's, it's reminiscent of Bernie Madoff, who used a very small, basically an in-house accountant, to cover up his tracks. Now, one of the things that typically, watchdogs will say, for an entity of this size, you want an independent, a truly independent accounting firm. Now, I don't know a lot about BKD, but they did get into trouble with the Securities and Exchange Commission. They had various issues there, so they don't have the best reputation. They're based in Little Rock, Arkansas, Clinton's home state. And very interesting, the Clinton Foundation was one of its biggest clients. And that right away is a no-no because, you know, a firm, look, if I'm getting, let's say I make $1 million a year, which I can assure you I don't, but let's say $900,000 of that comes from one entity. It's very likely if that's a journalism entity. You know, I used to work at Harper's. I actually no longer am on their staff. I used to be the Washington editor. But I used to say, you know what? it would be hard for me to write a very critical story about John MacArthur for Harper's. You know, he was employing me. He was the publisher of the magazine.
Right. So BKD would be hard pressed to actually be critical and scrutinize Clinton Foundation's books if Clinton Foundation was its biggest client and it was getting its large share of its income from the Clinton Foundation. So what do we know about the audits, or rather the financial books of the Clinton Foundation by BKD? Are the books being audited by a larger brand name firm, if you will? Can we get some sort of second look at this?
Well, they finally did, under intense outside pressure, they did agree to revise, I believe it was, late last year, they finally revised, or early this year, I'm sorry, I'm not exactly sure on the date of when they actually issued the revisions, because they acknowledged there were shortcomings. And the shortcomings were massive. They were not tiny little things. I mean, they were just blind, giant black holes in their accounting books. So they hired PricewaterhouseCooper, and that is a brand name firm. And they came in with a report that, you know, basically covered up for the Clinton Foundation, said, oh, gee, you know, the mistakes were minor. I mean, it was basically one of the, you know, it's sort of like our FBI director James Comey saying, well, I found problems, but we're just not going to do anything about it. It's a similar situation. PricewaterhouseCoopers, it is a big firm. I would urge your listeners, if you really want to know the inside scoop on this, there's a guy named Charles Ortel. Check out his work. He's done tremendous work. He says, I'm a critic of crony capitalism. And the Clintons, that's crony capitalism par excellence.
So let's talk about one of the things that came out of the WikiLeaks releases about Clinton, from Clinton's emails that WikiLeaks released, that showed that the Clinton Foundation isn't just about mining contracts or Bill Clinton speaking fees. It's also about favor trading. What did the emails show about, job placement for Clinton's friends, for example?
Well, you've got all sorts of problems there. And that's why, you know, I said, I mean, to me, the Clinton Foundation is a vehicle to promote the family brand, to enrich cronies, and to reward donors. It's really, to me, the Clinton Foundation is a political vehicle. You know, you've got foreign donors that are giving money that can't give money to campaigns, but they can curry favor with one of the most powerful families in the United States. And if Hillary's elected president, the most powerful again, tragically. Family in the United States by giving donations to the Clinton Foundation. In terms of cronies, I mean, I've written about this as well. I did a piece at the New York Observer about Sidney Blumenthal. He had this massive contract from the Clinton Foundation to do consulting. I mean, he's the Clinton family hatchet man, very, very close to Hillary. And I really worry about if he would have I think he's too tarnished to have an official role on a Clinton administration, a Hillary Clinton administration, but he will certainly have an unofficial role at minimum. Here's a guy who's getting a big contract from the foundation. It's not really clear what sort of advice he's offering, but he is bringing to Hillary's attention his own business interests from time to time, like he was looking for business in Libya. You've got Huma Abedin, who's married to Anthony Weiner, the illustrious Anthony Weiner, who had to resign as a result of his sexting scandal. She got paid by the Clinton Foundation. The list goes on and on. I mean, there.
And in an email exchange with Huma Abedin, there is the WikiLeaks article that essentially shows that somebody was making sure that Abedin basically replied, saying, we all had him on our radar, him, an unnamed person whose name has been redacted. Personnel has been sending him options. And it's this also, to me, is an indication of this is how the 1% functions, right? The kind of favor trading that happens, the family connections, the connections between wealthy families and their companies, and the deal making that goes on, that the 99% of us are completely left out of and have to, you know, work on our own merits to try to struggle to get by. The Clintons are in the thick of it, right?
Absolutely. And that you're getting right to the heart of things. I mean, our country, you know, is dominated by people who have economic power, make political contributions, and hence they have political power as well. The system is completely out of whack. And you know what's sad? I wrote about this recently at, let me get in one more plug for WashingtonBabylon.com. it's sad that, you know, with the Clintons, that this situation is so outrageous. The evidence is right out there in your face. But meanwhile, we have a political situation that is so broken that Donald Trump, of all people, has become the hope of a significant chunk of the American population that has been marginalized and shut out. Now, you know, politically, I may not like a lot of what those people have to say, but there's a deep anger in this country at the way the economy works now, this wink and nod where the 1%, you know, do very, very well. That's all it takes is a wink and a nod.
And of course, Trump is part of that too, but he's able to, using populist rhetoric, whip up anger against Clinton because he's echoing verbally what a lot of people are angry about.
Exactly. And it's pathetic and outrageous that Donald Trump has become a voice for some people who are otherwise shut out. And meanwhile, you have Hillary Clinton, of course, claiming that she's using the populist rhetoric of her own, which is outrageous. She's going to have an administration of hacks.
Well, Ken, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your Harper's article from our website, as well as to your new effort, WashingtonBabylon.com. Thanks so much and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Ken Silverstein is a Washington, D.C.-based investigative reporter and a columnist for the New York Observer and a contributing editor to Vice. His Harper's piece is called Shaky Foundations, the Clinton so-called charitable enterprise, has served as a vehicle to launder money and enrich family friends. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.